Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, it's Joe McGee. Welcome to Faith for Families. We are right in the middle of a great series talking about faith and prayer, two of the greatest things you're going to do. We kind of come from this thing from the premise of you could only tell your kids two things, you know, for their life to help them be successful. Guys, number one, you need to use your faith. Hebrews 11 says, without faith, you don't please God. 1 Peter 5 says, without faith, you don't resist the devil. He's only afraid of one thing. He's afraid of your faith. God loves it. The devil's afraid of it. So you need to get your faith. We talked about the different levels of faith in the Bible. Great faith, little faith, no faith, weak faith. You can grow your faith. You can let it go low. How do you get faith? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The more you read the Bible, the more faith you're going to get. It's believing that what God said is the truth. And then we talk about prayer. You need to pray, but you need to pray in faith, not wavering, James says. For if your prayer is wavering, you don't expect to receive a thing from God. You get stuff from God through faith, believing that what he said will come to pass. And so we've gone through several series here trying to present this thing and lay it out, because what you want to do eventually was, I need you to pray in faith. Well, when you pray, I used to tell my kids, God doesn't watch over your need. He watches over his word to perform it. So we need to give you the word of God. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go through today, and I've got pages of this I put together for my kids, where I would just pick a subject and I'd find scriptures on it. The Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, the thing is established. So when you pray, you got to pray scripture. Pray what God said, not what you want. God said he'd give you the desires of his heart, but of your heart, but his desire, his will is in his word. It's called the last will and testament. So what we do is pray this. Now, I've said before in many of our seminars that the greatest prayer you can never pray for your children is to pray that they fear God. And so what I'm going to do, start today, and this is the scripture page I've given to my own kids and my book right here that I've handed to them. It's called The Fear of God. Why? Because it's real important that you fear God. But the Bible says in Psalm 34:11, it says, hearken to me, come to me, and I will teach you the fear of God. You don't get up laying on of hands, anointing with oil, or walking through a cloud. You'll only fear God if you're taught. So I pray it every morning and every night. I got a piece of paper I carry with me all the time, what I pray over my kids every morning and every night. I can say it rote. Sometimes I feel it. Sometimes I don't, but I always say it. I say, Father, I thank you for giving Sarah, Jessica, Cortez, Lauren, John, I give you permission to teach my children to fear you. For the fear of God's the beginning of wisdom, and with that wisdom comes long life, riches, and honor. Pray it every day, twice a day, always. Never, I don't think I've ever missed a day. Might have prayed it more now, but I always pray it twice a day. So I'll give you this, because when you pray, you got to pray God's word. So here's the scripture, Psalm 34:11, that just came, says, come to me, children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. Whew, have mercy. You know, God said, my people destroyed for lack of knowledge. So the fear of God's the beginning of it. Then Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What does that do? Well, Proverbs 3:13-16. Happy is the man that finds wisdom. I got six kids. I like them to be happy. How are you going to get them happy? Get them full of wisdom. How do you get them full of wisdom? Teach them to fear God. How do you teach them to fear God? You ask God. You pray. We're talking about faith and prayer. It's the will of God that they fear him. He said so. So I can pray, Father, I know it's your will. So I'm just asking you, according to your will. You know, Jesus said, pray this way. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Well, I know it's God's will that my children fear him. It's God's will. So when I ask, I have great confidence he's going to do that. It's your will that my kids fear you. You just need somebody to ask. That's why Jesus said, I know what you need before you ask. I need you to ask. So when I pray with great confidence, Father, I thank you that my six kids fear you. Therefore, I thank you, my six kids have liberal wisdom. James said, if you lack wisdom, ask of God, he'll give it liberally. So I thank God every day. Not only do my children fear you, which is the beginning of wisdom, I thank you, my children have liberal wisdom. Now, I tell people, I don't have perfect kids. I got great ones. I got four that have college degrees that went on scholarships. I got two more going right now on scholarships. What? Because I believe this. Not because they're the smartest kids in the room. I believe for the favor of God. Psalms 5:12. I'll surround you with a shield of divine favor. He's a liar. He told the truth. I just choose to believe he told the truth. My family walks in divine favor. You promised it. Angels of God camp about us. You promised it. I'm not making up stuff. I'm just putting God in remembrance of what he's already said. But I can't remind God if I've not studied it. That's why the Bible says study to show yourself approved, a workman. You know, needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm approved unto God. Why? The Bible says so. I'm blessed and highly favored. God forgives me quick. If I need to, I repent quick and I forgive quick. I make sure I don't get what we call spiritually constipated, where God can't move through you because you're mad at somebody or offended somebody or somebody's offended at you. Like, I know how to pray. Prayer is critical. So I told my kids, use your faith, pray every day, pray without ceasing. Why? It's the will of God. Why? He's trying to bless you, but he can't do it if you don't believe him and if you're not asking him. This isn't some fantasy thing. God don't, he doesn't just bless some great preacher. He'll bless a five-year-old if they believe him and they ask. I mean, God answered Samuel when he was five. God was talking to him. God taught that five-year-old. He'll talk to your five-year-old. He's no respecter of persons. I like this. Proverbs 3:13-16 says, happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For wisdom's proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that you may desire cannot compare with wisdom. Why? Length of days are in her right hand. Woo, have mercy. And riches and honor are in her other hand. Oh, man, what would you want more? I want my kids to live long, be rich, and bring honor to the family name. Where's that going to start with? Fear of God. Now, why am I teaching on faith and prayer? Because I need to believe that what I'm doing is God's will. Faith is, I believe this is your will, God. What's God's will? My children fear him. It's the will of God. Not that they're stupid, a doofus, ignorant, messed up. No, it's God's will that they fear him. But if I'm not asking him to teach him that, he can't do it. It's not legal. I know what I want to do, Joe, but I need you to ask me. Father, I give you permission. You teach my family to fear you. I close out every seminar and every church I've ever been to, every seminar, every sector thing I've ever been in. Father, I give you permission today to teach these people that are here today. They've come, chose to come out and seek you. Because of that, you're going to meet their need. I ask you to teach their children to fear you, for the fear of God's the beginning of wisdom. God watches over that word before me. So we go through and look at this. Proverbs 22:4, true humility and the fear of God lead to riches, honor, and long life. It's in there several times. Humility, well, it starts with the fear of God. Proverbs 16:6, unfailing love and faithfulness cover sins, evil, and is avoided by fear of the Lord. Oh, my goodness. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So you start going through and you realize, what are you doing? I know the will of God because I got the word of God. I'm praying it. Now watch this. How about enjoying life? You ever want to just enjoy something? How did you enjoy that? Well, it's all right. No, I like to enjoy things. So look at this. 1 Timothy 6:17. Charge them, I pray, those that are rich in this world, that they be not, watch this now, they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Why does God give us stuff? He wants us to enjoy life. Some people think you're supposed to be beat up, poor, and broke, so God will, you know, that somehow that's humbling. And that's not humility. That's just arrogance. No, God said, I want you to enjoy life. Isaiah 65:22 says, you shall not build and another inhabit. You shall not plant and somebody else eat your food. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall enjoy long the work of their hands. What am I going to enjoy? My labor. Nobody's going to steal what I work for. Nobody's going to steal what I work for. I will enjoy the labor of my own hands. Yeah, nobody's going to steal it. And then I like this, Ecclesiastes 2:24. There's nothing better for a man than he should eat and drink, that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw that it was from the hand of God. I said, you ought to enjoy going to work. You shouldn't hate going to work. I hate going to work. Well, God says you ought to enjoy it. You ought to have great pleasure in going and doing what you're good at and being paid to do it. Oh, my goodness. And then Psalm 35:27. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Let them say continually that the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. What? You ought to have pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. God said, I like it when you're blessed. I like it when you're enjoying life. I like it when you enjoy going to work. You shouldn't hate going to work. You shouldn't hate earning a living. God says you ought to enjoy it. Well, if you don't know the scriptures about that, And you don't know that. Now here, I love this. This is just about scriptures on angels. I tell my kids, you know, there's angels. Where? Well, they're around you right now. Well, the Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, so I've got several scriptures, so we're going to do this. So watch this right here. Psalm 34, 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Who does? The angel of God camps around me and around my children. I tell them, like all my kids have these scriptures. You know there's angels camping around you right now? What? Protect you and deliver you? Oh, my goodness. Psalm 91, verse 11 through 12, God shall give his angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They will bear us up in their hands, lest we stumble, you know, against a stone. So there's two scriptures. The Bible says in Matthew 2 or 3 witnesses, you know, God's got loves you so much, he's got angels around you right now. The devil's wanting you to think about a horror movie and demons, but God wants you to think about it. He's got angels protecting you right now. Really? Yep. That's what he said. Psalm 103, verse 20. Psalm 103, verse 20. Bless the Lord, O you angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. What do angels do? They do what God says. What did God tell them to do? Camp round about me. What do angels do? They do what God says. What did God say? They're to camp round about me and keep me from the evil that's in the world. Whoa, you're kidding. Nope. Hebrews 13, 2. Hebrews 13, 2. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without even knowing it. You front-end angels, you just didn't know they were angels. You've seen them. They're everywhere. There's so many the Bible says you can't count them. We all have angels around us. And I like this, Matthew 18, 10. See that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you the truth that their angels in heaven do always see the face of my Father. Who? Talking about kids. Don't you ever make fun of kids? Why? Every one of them's got an angel that reports to the Father on their behalf. Angels. Well, now, you know, that might make you think different. They're being afraid of something under the bed at night. You might realize, no, I got angels camp around about me to protect me. Not being ashamed. You ever been embarrassed? Bad feeling, isn't it? Look at this. God promised that we would never be ashamed. Look at this. Psalm 31:1. And thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Whoa. Did you know that's a prayer? What do? Well, you got to pray it. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Psalm 37, verse 18. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. Woo! For in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. I'll never be ashamed about being without. God said, you'll never be without. I'll be your head. I'll be the tail. I'll make sure you're above and up in everything. Everything I set my hand to will prosper. He promised that to me. Psalm 119. Verse 80, let my heart be stand in your substance. Let me not be ashamed. Let my heart be sound, Father, in your presence. Let me never be ashamed. Father, I pray, let me never be ashamed. Psalm 127, verse 4 and 5, like arrows in the hands of a warrior, our sons born to one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies. My kids will never be put to shame. God promised that to me. Joel 2:26, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord God, who has dealt with you wondrously and with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Now there's five scriptures. You know shame's not a good thing. God said, I promise, I don't want you to be ashamed. You'll never be ashamed. You're going to be blessed. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.